Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of DD Extra, the bonus episode of Differential Diagnosis, where we talk about, well, anything we want about House, really. This week, once again, as with the last DD Extra, we're leaning away from the episode analysis that we usually do every Monday, and this time we're taking a look at the stranger side of the fandom.
The fanfiction. We're looking at the fanfiction. In fact, it was a listener that suggested that we talk about the fan fiction, and so we are.
Yeah, and there's really a treasure trove of stories that really cover areas of the House which we would never analyze.
No, I think it also deals with many fans. Fantasies about the series, what they wish they could have seen, what they hoped had been, and also missed opportunities from the creators of House, obviously, because there are so many laments to possible worlds within the House canon.
Yeah, so there are a few themes that I noticed. And I think we're going to agree on these themes.
Okay.
But if you remember any. So there's a lot of homoeroticism with mostly between House and Wilson. Hilson, if we could look into all of the like, you know, the couples. There's Hilson. There's Hayes. Hayes turns up a lot. Hilson's definitely first place, but Hilson's, you know, second. And then when it comes to the man-on-man relationships, there's Faub, which is Foreman and Taub. They turn up a lot. Interestingly, they're like background characters. Like if House and Wilson are like, you know, like going to go on a date, a double date, it's Foreman and Taub are like, they're sort of, you know, they're gay couple friends.
Okay.
That seems to be the case. And then Huddy turns up every now and again, but weirdly not that often. I would have expected it did, because it's a big fan favorite. And I think it's the reason why, you know, the creators then went on to explore it more in season 7, just because it obviously had some demand. But the fan fiction team seemingly do not have a lot of want for that story. And Hammerin also turns up, but you know, not as often as Hilson. Hilson is huge. I was not expecting the amount of Hilson that there was. And then lastly, it seems to be mostly the main cast who make an appearance, like the original team. But the two that make a difference is Taub, when he's being...
He's in Congress with some other individual.
When he's in Congress with Foreman.
Yes.
It's always Foreman. And then, and 13 as well. But 13 seems to mostly turn up for like, for just sex scenes with Cameron. She's never really in a relationship. So I don't know what that would be. That would be a...
The Tamarin.
It'd
be the Tamarin.
I like that one. So it's, but then a few others. There is a lot of age regression. This was very strange. was pretty interested by the, I guess it was like the House version of like, it's like,
come on, spit it out.
It was like the House version, like Tom and Jerry Kids. Like, you know, those like, you know, spin-off cartoon shows they had where it was like Looney Tune Kids. You know, I guess the opposite, Rugrats did it with All Grown Up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like there's a lot of House becomes a baby, or Foreman and the team become a baby.
Yeah.
We found some interesting stories of that. And then...
brain damage. So sometimes it's actual physical regression. Sometimes it's mental progression. No, regression due to brain damage or brain injury, which I think is an interesting one. You know, some of them really try and keep to the physical realism of House MD. Some skirt the edges of that and go for something a bit more metaphysical.
Yeah, there is magic involved. There was one interesting one where it was like there was a special pancake sauce that everyone drank to become 8-year-olds throughout the course of the story, which was fascinating. House's son pops up a few times. He's basically House in all of the stories that I read, but he's a cooler teenage version. And I guess people didn't want to just go back. They wanted to go forward and tell their own story.
It's kind of like Indiana Jones and Indiana Jones's son, as played by Shia LaBeouf in Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. Oh, wow. He's back, but it's kind of not. It's the same character, but kind of not. Will he become like House? Will he not? Is he going to shirk against even the anti-authority figure that House usually is? Ooh, how interesting. I guess. There is plenty of counterfactual House MD stories. So, for instance, what if House was married to Wilson when he had his infarction? What would entail there?
An interesting story. Also one where he has the infarction while they're having a game of badminton with Foreman and Taub, I believe.
That is amazing.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of counterfactuals. It seems to always be House and Wilson being married. This is a big thing. I'm not sure if the House MD community who write the fan fictions are gay men who are writing, like, basically trying to create characters that a relationship that I guess they understand more, or if it's just generally just an expansion of House and Wilson's relationship and people just want to see that.
It could be an LGBTQ plus type thing, or
I wasn't sure if it was that or it's just like people just like House and Wilson so much they're like, what if they were romantically involved? And then there's probably the most boring trend I noticed, which was filling in the blanks of events. So, say, like, at the end of season 5, when House admits he's not okay and goes to rehab, there's entire stories which document the conversations that they had on the way to the hospital, which I think the reason why the show just turned that into a montage was because we could kind of fill in the blanks, but some people really want to know the awkward conversations that House and Wilson have on the way to the hospital. So it's
want to imagine what they would be. I mean, a lot of this is all kind of trying to realize certain things that have been missed or overlooked or maybe not pushed to their limits, as it were.
Absolutely. And then there were another version of that, which is where they imagine... A lot of fan fictions were very straight. They were just like imagining like a silly event that happened. One of which was a story by... Because we want to quote the people on this. Because, you know, people I'm impressed that people like are that big of fans. Like, we make a podcast, right? But I think that this is much easier to do than writing 45,000 words.
Credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, just to clarify, we're not like, we're more finding this interesting. It's a fascinating little element of the fandom that we were not aware of. We're not like mocking it. We think it's great that people make this. And there's, I mean, if you go on, I think there's 269 pages on just archive of our own.co.uk, which is just one of the many fandom sites. So it's crazy the amount of like work that's out there.
It's archiveofourown.org, just to clarify.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So, well, it's like, so there's one by nightdog_barks, which sees House setting the team a musical riddle, which the riddle is basically the answer is Pink Floyd.
Well, you spoilt the story now.
Well,
congratulations.
I'm not going to read the story because it's quite long. But yeah, that's it. And Wilson guesses it. And it makes House appreciate Wilson because he understands that he likes Pink Floyd. But the rest of the team doesn't. Very much so, would never appear in an episode. Would be very hard to fit in. And yet this person really wanted to know what would happen when those characters go to do that. So it's just very interesting. It's absolutely fascinating. Then there's the crossovers, which involve, there are several crossovers. Joan of Arcadia, which is a show I'd never heard of. Firefly happens a lot.
Oh,
and
really?
Dexter as well.
Okay, I can see why that might pop up.
Yeah, those two just have a chat. And then like reimagining of past scenes, once again, kind of like the, you know, House and Wilson being married and going through the infarction. But sort of little twists. So there's one story I read was in which it goes into the reasons why Cuddy hired House. There's a few of those. Some are just the scene recited, just to imagine what the conversation was and going more into Cuddy's, you know, thoughts and feelings on why she hired House. In other terms, it's she hires House for very different reasons. One of which is how well endowed he is.
Oh, wow.
Very important for him to work at the hospital. That definitely worth that $100 million loss for that. And then another one, which was called Closeted by Ink Sheddings, which reimagined the House and Cameron date in which they instead have sex in a closet.
Oh, wow. What, a restaurant closet? Where?
I think it's just at her house.
Oh, that's a bit weird.
Yeah, I don't know why they do it in a closet, but it was...
I bet it's a very big closet. She has a very nice apartment, according to the episode.
Last episode.
Yeah, and you've also got the treadmill can fit in there, probably, and everything.
We'll be going in more into depth on the date episode next week, but it's very different than what I remember.
Yeah. Like I say, it's the fulfillment of certain fantasies about what people think should have happened or what they would have liked to have happened, or even just indulging in a light kind of what if kind of approach to literature and fan fiction.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite interesting because some of them are like 200 words.
Yeah.
And they're just strange little skits. And then some of them are like multiple chapters. Like I think the largest one I saw was 60,000 words.
60,000 words?
Yeah, it was called the largest one I found, it was called The Immortality Contagion by Inner Ruje One, which was basically like a vampire fanfic where Cameron's a vampire and there are vampires and they have to use the vampires to like cure death, the ultimate disease.
The ultimate disease.
So House cures that. And it's, I couldn't read the whole thing. It was too long and I didn't have that much investment in the story, but like, good on you. It's a 19 chapter, like, novel. It's more novel than I've ever written.
Yeah. Insane.
So we thought we'd,
conclude the episode by actually reciting some of our favorites.
Yeah.
I think one thing we need to really kind of just put on the record, most of the fan fiction is erotic. Some of it, you know, is BDSM. Some of it's just all sorts of crazy. And a disclaimer, some of the stories that will be recited in part are erotic.
Yeah, we did have the original setup for this was because we were thinking about how we're going to do this. And originally it was going to be, we were just going to read our favorite stories in full as a sort of story time, which, hey, feel free to fall asleep to these tales. But we were researching and I think Gaz made a very good point. He said, we don't know who our audience is. How can we be sure that people won't not enjoy listening to very extreme like BDSM scenes between House locking Chase in a cage? and I did have to agree in the end that because yeah, I mean, houses can be quite an edgy show at points, but it can also be enjoyed as a very sort of light-hearted like primetime TV show, and we didn't know who was actually listening to this podcast and who would enjoy it, so we decided to keep it quite clean and remove a lot more of the erotic elements. But there are some of them here still, but we thought we'd pick our, you know, the more clean stories that we enjoyed. So that was our like analysis of the fandom. We highly recommend that you go ahead and actually read some of these stories on like archiveofourown.org and like housemdfanfic.co.uk was one, I think.
Oh, is there another one?
I mean, okay. If you Google it, you'll find them. But They're very interesting, and it's really like either you'll enjoy reading them. I'm possibly a bit old for that kind of like fan fiction. I think maybe if I'd have been more into it at like the age of 13 while I was watching it. But maybe you are that person. Maybe you might enjoy reading some fan fiction. And I highly suggest it because a lot of time and effort has gone into all of these. So yeah, let's begin the story time. So sit back, relax, and get ready to listen to a couple of the best hits of the HouseMD fan fiction.
This is one of my favourite fan fiction stories for HouseMD. It's called Brotherly Love by Jack Loves Hilson. And the summary, as in Jack's words, are: this is a friendship story. And House has regressed into an earlier state after season 6, episode 22. Help me. He has the mental capacity of a 2 to 3 year old. How will Wilson handle this? Chapter 1. Changes. Wilson sighed as he watches his best friend play the piano. He loved listening to House play, because before his regression, House didn't play in front of him. He was playing Bach. After his piece ended, House sauntered into him. "Rory?" Wilson asked, looking childlike eyes. "What's up?" But House didn't answer. Wilson frowned and touched House's bottom area. His pull-up was wet. "Come on, Rory. You know, I need to change that." They went to the bedroom. Wilson went and got a change of pants and a new pull-up. He helped House into his bedroom that was littered with books and toys. "Rory, bed," he said. House rolled his eyes. Wilson was saddened to see House's blue eyes roll. It was the same motion as before. He led House into the bed and changed him.
"Okay."
House nodded.
"I am hungry, Jamie."
"We need to do exercises first," he said, stroking House's graying brown hair.
"No,"
House said, kicking his good leg. Wilson checked his watch. He was right. It's time for lunch. He got up, followed by House.
"Let's go to McDonald's," said House,
puckering his lip.
"No,"
Wilson said harshly. House was getting on his nerves today. He instantly felt guilty when House flinched.
"Sorry, I just want you to eat not McDonald's today."
"You want to eat PBJ instead?"
"Yes, and chocolate milk."
He prepared House's meal. He watched House eat.
A year ago, he found House in a regressed state in his old apartment the morning after the crane disaster in Trenton.
He and Sam broke up that morning. House can't walk or talk, according to Foreman and Stone. House has regressed to an infantile state and will remain that way for the rest of his life. Luckily, House had regained some of his function. He can now feed himself and he can talk a few words at a time. Also, his music came back. His mother died, so Wilson became his legal guardian. They left Princeton and moved to San Diego. He and House were living off of House's life insurance policy, which was huge. Wilson had a consulting job online.
He returned from his musing by house. He made a huge mess. His shirt was wet with chocolate milk. "Okay, Rory," Wilson said in a sing-song tone. "We need to change you, don't we?" House nodded. He handed House his armed crutches and led him to his bedroom. They needed to paralyze House's right leg, so he was wearing AFOs. Wilson laid House in the tub. He started the shower. He removed House's right AFOs and helped House bathe. After the bath, House rested in his bed. Wilson put him for a 3-hour nap. They needed to go to Target after House woke up. He stayed in House's bed, working while stroking House's hair. He was strangely happy about the whole situation, because House was like his kid. After 3 hours, House woke up in a bad mood. He was wet. Wilson changed him. "Okay?" Wilson asked, and House nodded. "We need to go to Target and buy some groceries." House followed Wilson out of his bedroom. Target was a walking distance outside their gated community. House was on an adaptive stroller because it was much easier for Wilson than a standard wheelchair. House waved at every person he saw. The people knew him as the guy who played the piano. They all smiled. Wilson pushed House into Target. They bought groceries. House wanted a new remote control car. Wilson got him the car, because after learning about House's childhood, he couldn't refuse him anything. They went home after getting food at a Taco Bell. After eating, he dressed House. He can't dress. Bottoms and zippers were hard on him. House played with his car for a bit. "I love you, Jamie. I love you too." And he meant it like a son. He hadn't loved anyone like he loved House. It was strange that he loved House without desiring his body. He played with House for a bit. At 9:30, House yawned. "Time for bed," Wilson said. He made sure that House's pull-up wasn't wet. He read a story. They were reading The Cat in the Hat until House fell asleep. He had been sleeping with House in a rollaway bed. They slept in the master bedroom because House had trouble with the dark. The next morning, House woke up crying. "Rory!" He smelled poop. He sighed. "Come on, Rory, I need to wash the bed." He changed House. It was 8 a.m. already. House went to a specialised day programme 3 days a week for 3 hours. He dressed House. He fed him pancake and chocolate milk to save time. He walked House to school, in quotation marks. Wilson had an online consultation today. 3 hours later, he picked House up. They got food to go. Today, they were picking Chase up. Chase was moving to their neck of the woods. Chase had spent time with House when he visited them. House's long-term memory was non-existent, so he didn't remember Chase. He helped House sat on the car. House sat shotgun with a 5-point racing harness. They got to LAX after a while. Chase was waiting for them in the checkout counter. He saw the car, a black Volvo sedan. Wilson on the wheel, and House was seated shotgun asleep. Chase smiled. Chase entered the car. "Nice to see you, Chase." They drove home. When they got home, House was still asleep. Wilson didn't want to wake him. Chase got the stroller from the back of the Volvo. Wilson carried House to the stroller and wheeled him to their house. When House woke up, he was crying. Wilson wasn't there. Wilson heard him, though. "What's wrong, Rory?" Wilson said while stroking House's hand. "I thought you left and I am all alone." Wilson sighed. "No, I won't leave you. Ever." "Ever?" House repeated. "Yeah, ever. I'll never leave." Wilson stroked House's hair. They fell asleep. Chase found them way after a couple of hours. He woke Wilson up. House was wet again. House had lost his bladder and anal control when he regressed. No sexual activity too. He was an overgrown 2.5-year-old who was also a musical savant. Wilson, you might want to change him. He smells. Wilson stood and wake House. After changing House, they went out for dinner. Wilson, House and Chase. They rode the Volvo. They ate out at a Japanese restaurant. House! Wilson glared at Chase for his slip-up. Rory, what do you want to eat? House shrugged. I want Raymond. Wilson ordered Raymond for House. They shared the bowl. Chase ordered katsu. They went to see the shops after eating. House sat on his stroller. Wilson pushed him while a mother approached House. What is wrong with him? My kid was staring at him the whole time we are here. Wilson had been there with House. People staring at a man in the stroller. But he answered the person matter-of-factly. My brother has brain damage.
That was a beautiful reading, Gaz.
That's all right.
Hopefully you've already drifted off. But if not, here's another story, staying on the baby theme. It's called Baby Talk by Mystery Writer 36. Nice little short story. Summary, Chase and House discuss having kids. Chase had presented his desire to House in a rather informal way, which is to say he leaned over, laid his head in his boyfriend's lap and blurted, I want a kid! Without any further fanfare. In Chase's mind, it was the quickest and easiest way to get House's opinion on the matter. In House's mind, it was equal parts shocking and adorable, although the shock seemed to be taking control of his thoughts. Excuse me? I want a kid! Chase repeats, obviously nervous. I figured you should know then! House runs a hand through Chase's hair and hums softly. Do you want to adopt one or have one yourself? Chase's eyes widen. Are you serious? House bites his lip. I'm sorry. Is the idea of being pregnant too dysphoria-inducing for you? No. Well, sort of. But that's not what I meant. You want kids? With me? Chase asks, eyes wide and hopeful. House smiles, and Chase is sure he's never seen anyone look at him so warmly and lovingly before. I want everything with you, he replied. I love you. Chase sits up to kiss House, and tears gather and threaten to spill over. I love you too!
Wow. That was powerful. So now we're going to go on to my final selection, which is written by Noit Notre Choir D, or Noitsnautrechoird. It's titled House MD of Love. It's a racy, erotic, fan fiction, and I hope you enjoy it. As the summary says, mostly just to be entertaining here, wrote it to give to someone. I hope they enjoyed this gift. So, here's the excerpt. Wilson grinned wider and pushed House onto the examination table. Pants pulled to his ankles. It sounds like you're overdue for a prostate exam, House. He slid House's pants all the way off and pulled him closer, throwing House's cane away in the process. Wilson prepared himself to examine House's prostate. Wait, but what about the rubber? House covered his rectum with his hands as Wilson licked his lips. I detect
abnormalities better without the gloves. He then wrenched House's hands away and violently began to probe him deeply. Wilson, you're being so rough. House groaned in pain and delight as Wilson performed the diagnostic procedure. Diagnostics being one of the few things that House lived for. This is for using Cuddy as an excuse instead of being honest with me, House. Wilson thrust his appendage into House, emphasizing each syllable as he spoke. House groaned. Wilson, were you going to check out the growth? Wilson chuckled and reached up with a free hand to grasp the growth. House, you've become so stimulated when it comes to exploratory diagnostics. House's mouth gaped wide, and he whimpered as Wilson moved. The intensity of the procedure was almost too much for him to handle. Wilson, I think the growth is about to have a tonic-clonic seizure. Wilson groaned and closed his eyes. I think I've almost finished searching for abnormalities too. Suddenly, Cameron burst into the room. House, it's lupus. The patient has lupus. House opened his mouth and screamed, Yes! House became overwhelmed in diagnostic ecstasy as he reached into his coat for his Vicodin bottle and popped it open, pouring pills into his mouth. Oh my God, House, I didn't know you were having a medical procedure done, exclaimed Cameron in shock at the sight in front of her. 13 burst into the room behind her. That reminds me, Cameron, you tested positive. 13 aggressively locked lips with Cameron, sucking Cameron's tongue into her mouth as she slipped Cameron's coat off. For what? Cameron asked as she regained her breath. For acute butt syndrome. I'm applying treatment right away. 13 tore off both of their clothes and slammed Cameron against the cabinets. Lupus! House screamed through a mouthful of pills. Wilson shut him up with his own mouth as the pills spilled from mouth to mouth in the slimy contact.
Well, thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Differential Diagnosis. Please be sure to join us Monday, where we'll be talking about the next episode of House MD, and then every Thursday for another episode of DD Extra, possibly not like this. It's bye from me.
I don't know how to respond to any of this, so I'm still trying to process the data.
And bye from Gaz. See you then.